is the time for our sermon, Faith That Floats. He's from our friend, Framingham Church, sister of our brother William, friend and a family of our church again. Let's welcome to the pulpit, Sister Linda Colon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord for the privilege of indulging me as God uses me to speak to me and through me to all of us. I'm going to go a little bit off script, okay? Wasn't part of my plan. I have two friends here today, Pelsida and Milta, right there. You know, I used to tell people, don't make people stand up and wave because that's embarrassing, right? But I might make them do that because I'm going to ask Milta to come up here, and she's going to be off script. These two women serve at the Women's Ministry Spanish Department, but this young lady here has received a call to go with on a mission trip to Mexico, and she should be on her way to Florida now, but she did a detour to say goodbye to me here. So I want to have a special prayer that her ministry continues to, like the prayer of Jabez, be careful what you ask for, right? if some of you want to join me and surround her, I want to pray some elders for her, her guidance, that God protects her on her route to, she's going to Florida and then flying to Mexico. And I think it's pretty brave to do things like that. I don't travel more than 30 minutes and I get scared. So I think it's pretty impressive, especially with the climate that we are currently having. And we just want to surround her in prayer, and God's going to do what he does. Amen. And thank you for coming. Sorry I put you on the spot, but I think for prayer, you'll forgive me,
I'm
right?
Free for it, yeah.
Okay. Brother Mike, would you like to pray over her?
Okay. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for this day. You blessed us with the Sabbath, and you blessed us with a sister here who is on a trip for a mission trip. Lord, we ask for protection. We ask for safety in travel. We ask for safety when she's there, that she is able to present you, Lord, in a manner that touches people, and I know she will. And but be with her, help her to be safe, help her to present you in a loving manner to those people, and who she's being a missionary to.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
She can kill me later. She didn't ask me to tell you guys that, but she is accepting donations for the mission trip. If you feel in your heart, no pressure. But she does have Zelle. Anyways, happy Sabbath to you all. Can I tell you, I'm not the most organized human being in the world. And when I see God put things together, I just stand in awe. So I grew up in a church where the pulpit and that table up there, you don't put anything on it, okay? But I need to put this thing of water up here. And this little towel was tucked there. I don't know who it belongs to, but God is good, because now it's not really on the pulpit, it's on the towel. Praise God, right? My husband says my government training and my wording, I always tries to get away with things. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being here. I pray, Lord, that you fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me ask you honestly, have you ever felt like you're drowning, right? Have you looked at, like, you might look like you have everything put together, but you're barely floating above water, right? The last couple months, as I was developing this sermon, this didn't just come out of the blues. It came out in a period of time that I was really extended, overly extended. Have you ever guys just don't know how to say no and you continue to overextend yourself one thing after another? And one of the things that I sometimes feel a little bit overextended, even though I love, love, love my grandchildren, is having them at home. And sometimes mom will say, can you give them a bath? And sometimes the girls love water, right? And when they go into the tub, they always bring little toys. And as I was seeing them playing there, and the water was splattering all over the place, and the rubber duckies that they had, I had this moment, aha moment. So this didn't come from kneeling and praying for guidance. It was an aha moment that I had as I was watching these kids in the tub, just having a great time with these rubber duckies. And I realized that I needed to be more like a rubber ducky. And I'm gonna share with you what that means, right? Have you ever played with a rubber ducky? Don't they bring a smile to your face when you see it? Can I tell you a little bit about the history of it? The first one that they ever built was in 1800, and it was a hard rubber, and it didn't even float, right? It wasn't until the 1900s that they started to make them yellow and they started to float. And of course, if you grew up with Ernie from Sesame Street, rubber ducky, you're my friend, right? And so I love rubber duckies. And in 2020, if you own a Jeep, this woman created, try to make people feel happy and glad. Jeeps were ducked, right? And if you see somebody who owns a Jeep, if you see my brother-in-law and my sister, they have all these little rubber duckies in the front, right? And some people wonder what it is, you know, but it was just something to bring joy. And if you've ever been to a cruise, sometimes they have cruising ducks, you know? And so that's the history, the backstory of how the rubber duckies, and you may have your own story. And it's so funny because Pablo was preaching, was giving the story, and he said he feels like an odd duck sometimes, right? But I hope that as you finish listening to what God has to say through this message, you'll be okay being an odd duck, because sometimes we need to be like a duck. And it doesn't matter if we look like we're out of water, right? God is holding us and is allowing us to float. And the truth is that you and I, some of us, must be going through some storms and tribulations, right? And the Bible says in John 16:33, in this world, you will have trouble. And if you think about that, you're like, really, God? Really? Trouble? You know, I can get in trouble all by myself, you know. I don't know about you. But the thing is that he doesn't end there. He doesn't just leave it there. He says, but take heart, be at peace, have hope. I have overcome this world. So wherever you are, if you feel that some waters are around you, the question is, who is holding you afloat? What to do when you're in it, when you're really in the situations, right? Because when we become Christians, sometimes there's this false hope and assurance that they give you that everything's going to be okay, right? And usually when sometimes somebody gets baptized, I go, hold on, it's going to get ugly now, right? Because the enemy is a liar and he wants to destroy what God wants to restore. But the message of today is that even though we may feel like this rubber ducky, that we're being pushed down, if Christ is holding you, does it stay in the bottom? No. So remember that you may be going through a journey right now that you feel like you're being split and splashed, and you're maybe somebody's trying to bring you down to a point where you think you, where you don't feel like you can be afloat. As I said in the Sabbath school lesson, I think the concept, the knowledge is that sometimes we think we should be holding on to Jesus, but the reality is Jesus is holding on to us, because we get tired, we have moments, and we have realizations that hurt us, but Jesus keeps us afloat. I printed out my sermon. Last time I came, I had it on my phone, and my phone wasn't working, and I'm trying to prevent anything that can take away and distract me. But how many of you have those moments, especially on Sabbath, as you're getting ready, you get a phone call, you get a situation, you start to build a PowerPoint early enough, right? Early enough, which is what I did this morning, because I wanted to show some pictures, and I wanted to be technology savvy. But honestly, I've come to the realization after today that I'm the old school prop person. You're gonna see the duckies not up there, but in person, right? And sometimes we try to keep everything together in our own personal life, in our families, our children, our work, but we try to do things, and the reality is that we fail, and we can feel like we're sinking, and we're stretched, and we feel uncomfortable, and you feel like you've been pressing on, you're being pressed from all sides. And in Romans 5:3-4, we are reminded that if we continue to persevere, right, the trials and tribulations that are coming our way will bring character, and character will give us hope. So I was talking to somebody before I came up here. He says, did you see what's happening in the news? Do you know what's happening this weekend? And I thought to myself, I don't really listen to the news as much, because it can really get scary. But if you remember who is holding you, God is holding you. It's not that you can't see what's happening. It's not that the wars and the sounds of war, our children out there, you know, we have kids that are fighting a war that doesn't belong to us, right? Or when our kids go out to college, it doesn't mean we don't have fear, but we know that God is in the storms of our lives, and that gives us hope. And the hope is to live not in fear, but in He who has us and is holding us. So biblically, I wanted to share a story that reminds me of this rubber ducky, right? I want you to look with me in the Bible. It's one of my favorite characters. I'm always reminded by Peter, God's grace. Because you know how Peter was. He loved Jesus, but he had a big mouth. And he loved Jesus, but he was very impulsive. He loved Jesus, but he sometimes forgot to wait on him, right? And if you can look up Matthew 14 with me, I'm going to read it together. We can read it together. It's the story about when Jesus walks on the sea, right? And the good thing about these stories that God puts in here is to give us hope. It's not to condemn us. It's not to say, look at you did it again, you failed, like Peter. No, it's to say, I got you, and I'm transforming you. And if you continue to persevere, there will be hope that we will be perfect in Jesus Christ, right? Not in our own doings, but in Christ alone. If you're ready, let's read together from the whole story. If you haven't looked at the story, You know, Jesus was healing. He stayed behind, and the disciples went on the boat. And while they were on the boat, there was a storm, right? It came out of nowhere. Most storms come out of nowhere, because if we were able to get prepared, then there would be no casualties. But most storms in our life come out of nowhere, right? A phone call, a pink slip, a child that gives you these news, right? It just comes out of nowhere where it can knock you off your feet. So the disciples are on this boat, and they're experts. And they're expert fishermen, so they know how to be on a storm. But this one, they see that this figure is approaching them. And when they say the figure goes, which is Jesus, be of good cheer, it is, and do not be afraid, because I think they were afraid. Who's ever been in a storm, it's normal to have emotions. But number 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Okay, no, sorry. Let's start from 29. Peter then, being Peter and loving Jesus, he says, hey, Jesus, if that's really you, tell me to go walk on water, right? And because Jesus is gracious with us, in spite of what we ask for. We were talking about it in our Sabbath school lesson. Thank God, Jesus, God doesn't answer all our prayers, right? Imagine how many people might be dead right now if some of those prayers were answered, right? Thank God, impulsive prayers or hateful prayers that sometimes we have in our journeys. But Jesus, knowing and trying to teach Peter a lesson of dependence, he says, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on waters to go to Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been out in the ocean. When you're out there, you know there's things in the bottom of the ocean. My husband used to own a boat, and we used to go to the Cape, and I love water. But when we went on our boat, I didn't like being outside, because the uncertainty of not knowing what's under the water surface was too scary. But Peter had faith in Jesus, and he starts walking, right? And he starts walking, and immediately something happens, because what happens is when we forget to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, he starts to sink. So I don't know what is distracting you in your life right now. What is making you lose your focus? Because we all have done it at some point. I want to remind you that we need to go and be still and focus again on Jesus. And Peter was walking on water. But then he saw the winds that were boisterous, and he was afraid. And sometimes our biggest enemy is fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of the what if. Fear is a tool that the enemy uses. And he used it with Peter, and he starts to sink. I don't know at what point in your life you are. Maybe you're walking on water with Jesus. Amen for that. Or maybe you have not stand still enough to keep focus on Jesus, and you're just starting to sink. Or maybe you're already treading water. But I want to give you the hope that comes when you have faith in the one that can walk on water. Our Savior walks on water. Amen to that, you know? And so verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He did not give him a sermon. He did not chastise him. He didn't do what I do to my husband. I told you so. He didn't. He immediately stretched out forth his hand and caught him and said unto he, oh, of little faith, wherefore this you doubt me, right? And I don't think he said that in an angry tone. I believe Jesus said that like a parent who grabs their child after they fell and said, "Oh, honey, why did you do that?" Right? And he took him and brought him back to safety. So when you and I focus on things around us instead of God, we start to sink. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by faith and not by sight." So even when you feel like your story doesn't have a happily ever ending, I want you to remember to have faith. When situations grow and arise beyond your control, hold on to faith, and that faith that only comes through God. And sometimes reality is, right, we start to sink in our world. And I forgot to bring the other rubber duckies. Have you seen the other rubber duckies that have like a little hole in the bottom? Those are cute. But the problem with those, if they have a hole, they start getting water inside. And if you let the water inside, what ends up happening with that water? It gets moldy, it gets smelly, and it can be put it in their mouth. And you and I, if we are not trusting God and we have a hole, we start getting bitter. We start getting angry. We start getting frustrated. We start doubting, right? And little by little, if we don't allow Jesus to seal that part of us, right, and cleanse us, when we squeeze it, when we're squeezed by life situations, that's what comes out, right? Luke 6:45 says, "Out of the abundance of the heart talks the mouth speaks," right? And sometimes, have you been surprised about what comes out of your mouth? This week I was embarrassed. I remember feeling so bad at how my behavior was, because I wasn't really focusing on Christ. I was focusing on the situation. And a few words that I shouldn't have said came out. And the enemy loves to put things into your head, because he's like, "And you're preaching on Saturday and that's how you talk?" And it did resonate with me, because guess what? I'm human, right? I had to ask for forgiveness, especially to God, and remember that we are human, but it's we in our humanity. I had to find what was broken so God could heal it, right? It says broken people hurt people, hurt other people, right? Sometimes we are overextended. We have situations that are happening. I even talked, sometimes we're not sleeping well. I need to sleep and I need to eat. I know that. I become a very not nice human being when I'm hungry or sleepy. But we need to be aware and allow those situations and give them to Jesus so that we can continue to float. Because if we cannot persevere in these small trials that are coming, what are we going to do when the big trials come, right? If we explode or spew out things on the small situations of our daily living, what's going to happen when we are supposed to stand for Jesus Christ and we are necessary to stand and float for him, and instead we sink because we don't have Jesus in our hearts and giving us the hope that we need, right? And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else. But the avenues of your mind, your mouth, your ears, your eyes, right? Guard them, because that's where the enemy's bombarding our children, our families, ourselves, right? And it can be so subtle. It could be even multitude of people who are system-based like, but they might have a moment where they start bickering, and then you start bickering, and you're like, why am I bickering? This is even my party, you know? This is even about me. Have you ever felt like you've just been with somebody who's kind of negative, and then you're like, wait a minute, why am I negative? This is, that's why it's important to be with like-minded Christians and be connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ, so we can float and we cannot be filled with stuff that is going to make us drown. And like I said, if you're one of those people like me this week that failed miserably, the grace of God is sufficient. But he does not want to leave me there. He does not want to leave you there. God loves you too much to leave you with your potty mouth. God loves you too much to leave you with your desire to maybe cheat, right? God loves you too much to leave you just existing. He wants that you have life, an abundant life on this side of eternity. Yes, Peter sank, but he did not drown. Yes, you may have faulted this week, but you don't drown when you allow Jesus to help you. This isn't just a sermon. This is real life. It's sometimes we are so tired of living on this side of eternity, and we are praying, but we're heavy. We are still showing up, but we're stretched. We're still loving people, but needing healing ourselves. And if we're honest with God, he can transform us. There's nothing, what are the first things of the recovery, right? Admitting you have a problem is your first step to recovery. And sometimes we just want to be good looking Christians on the outside, and you don't have to tell your business to everybody, you know, like I do on Facebook. You don't have to do that, right? But you should have like-minded people who can support you and raise you up and also be honest with Christ, because he knows it. He already knows it. He knows, God knows you even before you were born. Isaiah 43:2 is one of those verses that I love that really put this sermon together. If we can look it up, Isaiah 43:2. When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And though the rivers, they shall not, oh my goodness, can't even read it sometimes. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. Are there consequences? When my granddaughters take a bath, there's water everywhere. Everywhere. I even get wet sometimes. But just like I clean up, right, and dry them off, that's exactly what God does with us. We may be in the water, but if we have Jesus, we won't drown. We may be in the fire and burning a little bit, but you will not be consumed. And it may look like you will be, and maybe on this side of eternity, we may look like we failed, right? Like Jesus didn't win, but we all know Jesus won. And if we stay connected to him, you and I will also win. So no matter what happens, you will not drown if you stay connected to Christ. Not because I am strong, but because God sustains us, right? And today, we need to stop pretending that we have it all together. Today, we need to come to the cross and say, Lord, hold me, strengthen me, Remind me that I am not alone in this journey. Teach me to trust you in the water, because it's easy to trust walking on water, but it's harder when the water is all around us, right? And as we listen to this song, Jim is going to put, I want you to know that God will sustain you through the fires of life, right? The Lord wants you to float. No matter what comes your way, you float. And it doesn't matter what you look like, right? Maybe you don't fit the normal rubber ducky. But God, maybe you're the odd duck, Pablo. But God's got you. So let God transform you and give you hope. And the only hope and faith that we can have is when we stay connected to the source, which is Jesus Christ. If you know the song, sing it.
The words in red, how you leave the 99 to find the one missing, feels like that was written with me on your mind. And the prodigal son who ran.
Does anybody need a prayer? You feel like the prodigal son? That's not the song, but if God put it there, it's because we need to hear it.
The father came running to meet him. Did you say that with me on your mind? Who am I that the king of the world would give one single thought about my broken heart? Who am I that the God of all grace wipes the tears from my face and says, come as you are? You paid the price, you took the cross, you gave your life, and you did it all with me.
Make an invitation and a call for prayer. This isn't just a message. This is an invitation. If you're tired, if you feel like you've been holding on to everything together but failing, if you feel like you're smiling but sinking inside, I want to pray for you. God is not asking you to pretend anymore. The God of the universe came and died for you, and he wants to restore all our brokenness. If you had a moment like Linda Cologne today, this week, where when you were squeezed, you spewed out wrong things. If you felt like you're failing in your walk, I want you to remind you that Jesus is holding you If you don't see hope in your marriage, in that job, if the people who were supposed to help you are actually hindering your walk, I don't have any special powers, but I know the one that is holding me. It's the same one that is holding you. The God who loves you is the same God that wants to redeem you. And even if you don't stand, because that's okay, just whisper to God. Because he's already reaching out for you. And as we surrender, Lord, thank you for seeing us. You see what my struggles are, and my sisters and brothers here today, Lord. Sometimes we look good on the outside, but when we get squeezed, Lord, not so much. Please forgive us in those moments. We surrender to you. We want to be able to float through the adversities of life. We want to be able to stand tall, Lord. And even when the fires and the waters are all around us, that we can hold on to trusting you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, because you're always reaching out for us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't chastise us, but you have loved us with everlasting love. And as we leave today, Lord, may we be assured, and the enemy is a liar, be assured that you are, that we are more than victors in you, Lord. And even if somebody calls us an ugly duck, an odd duck, we are your beautiful swans and daughters and sons of the King of Kings. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for transforming us. And you who started the good work in us will finish it to completion. And that we may hear the Holy Spirit continue to guide and remember and remind us, this is not our home. Soon, really soon, Lord, we're going to be with you. And this is just for a moment. And we will be with eternity forever. May we never lose our footing. In Jesus' name, amen.